Welcome back to Top Stock Picks. I am your host, Jay Taylor, and my guest this week is my longtime friend and fellow newsletter writer, Eric Coffin. Eric's focus is generally more on earlier exploration stocks in the junior resource sector, and he's very good at it. His understanding of the science and technology that goes into the hidden secrets of Mother Earth enables him to provide a constant flow of very valuable information to subscribers, and he works very hard for them as well. As I was going over some of the names in my own newsletter, I began to realize that I have a lot of names in common with Eric's letter, and that's not an accident because I do value Eric's knowledge and exploration expertise and stories very highly, and so I'm inclined to take a good hard look at him when Eric starts to write about him or talk about him. In addition to writing his Hard Rock Advisory newsletter, with its frequent distribution, Eric is also the co-founder with Scott Gibson of the Metals Investor Forum in Vancouver, which are really very highly valued events, and I would suggest that you consider visiting Eric's website and subscribing to his newsletter, and that would be HRAAdvisors.com, HRAAdvisors.com. Thanks for joining me again, Eric.
Happy to be here as always.
Always good to talk to you. Before we get started on a couple of your favorites, talk to us a little bit about the Metals Investor Forum. That's your baby. You and Scott put it together. How do you feel about it, the one that just came off on May 5th and 6th?
We were quite happy with how things went. We weren't concerned about attendance because, obviously we can see the RSVP list. I know I had conversations with a few of the companies that were presenting. And just so your listeners understand, the way I designed the Metal Investors Forum is very specific, and that's that the only newsletter writers that I invite to do talks there are newsletter writers who, like myself, have a paid subscriber base, and of course that includes you, Jay, who we're always happy to invite to it. And the same thing is true of the companies, that the only companies that are invited to present are companies that are under active following by at least one of the newsletter writers, and one of those newsletter writers has to invite them. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of a vetted list on both sides, and it's worked out really well. The last one, we had to close the RSVP list 2 weeks before the show. The Friday of the Friday and Saturday show was the highest attendance we ever had, and this was in the middle of the market. It looked pretty ugly. Mm-hmm. I actually took that as a really good sign, because that tells me that the attendees of the Metal Investor Forums, they get it. If you're someone that trades, extremely high volatility stocks, and let's face it, the stuff we talk about are extremely high volatility stocks.
Yep.
The time to be shopping is when the market looks bad. That's when you should be out looking for stuff, because that's how you win at this game. You don't win at the game by chasing tops.
Yeah, that's true. And also, the most volatile stocks, I would say, Eric, are the exploration stocks, the early exploration stocks. And that's where I think people like you and other people who are technically orientated have a real advantage. Not only if you got to pick these things up at the bottom of the markets, as you say, but also if you can understand the geology and structure and potential and metallurgy and all those things, the earlier the better if you've got a good beat on something, because, from pennies to dollars is not unusual in a bull market. And so I'd like to talk to you about a couple of those, or have you talk to us, I should say, about a couple of your
sure.
favorites. And starting with Adamara Minerals, which is really, it's one that I have as well. This is a story with Project in Western Washington. They were looking for modest-sized gold deposit that they thought might be able to meet some needs of a mill and a mining project nearby that would soon run out of ore. But it seems as though they've got something bigger in mind now. Talk to us about Adamara Minerals and what they've got going there, Eric.
Yeah, Adamara is an early stage story. I really like it, and I really like Mark Colababa, the guy who runs it. I've got a huge amount of respect for Mark, because he's worked so hard to keep this company going through the bear market. I know him well enough to know that he made a lot of sacrifices to get here, more than most of his shareholders probably realize.
Mm-hmm.
And again, he's not the kind of guy to talk about that. But what he did while the bear market was in full force and really it was impossible to raise money, he spent a lot of time on the ground, spent a lot of time rethinking it, and he's changed the model that he's using for this area. It's different from the one that's sort of the accepted model, and this is a region that's produced probably around 6 million ounces of high-grade gold. It's in northeast Washington, basically north of the town of Republic. And he's turned things around and started looking for what he called sediment-hosted gold deposits. And in order to help him zero in on things, he did a very large VTEM survey last winter, and that's something that's never been done over this area, which surprised me. and that generated a huge number of targets, and he's been working his way through those. His geophysicist, Martin St-Pierre, is prioritizing things, but he's been adding extra layers of data like soil geochemistry, soil pH, the MAG surveys, and importantly right now, he's got three or four geologists out there pounding the boot leather, because he's come to the conclusion in the past, he always thought, you know, there's no point really spending a lot of time. He spent a lot of time mapping so they could understand where the structures were, because they're important to this model. Mm-hmm. But really, they never expected to find anything, you know, obvious, if you will, sticking out of the ground, just because it's an active mining area. Mm-hmm. But some of the discoveries they made in the last month, they've changed their minds about that, and now they think, you know, maybe we better go and ground proof all this stuff. Yeah. One problem that Stock had in the past was he had a huge warrant overhang. The stock's performed very well in the last 2 months. Almost all of that overhang's gone. He announced last Friday that he was going to force the exercise of two warrant issues with about 10 million warrants left. Impressively, I thought, the stock traded 3.5 million shares that day and only went down a cent. Mm-hmm. So the buying was there. He signed a drill contract. He should be drilling in probably 2 weeks or less. He'll try to hit at least 10 targets in the first phase, and I really like the look of some of these targets. I think it's got a great shot. You know, it's not a low-risk thing. I was pounding the table at a nickel with my subscribers, and if it has the move, I suspect it's going to have in the next 2 or 3 weeks up another 40 or 50%. You know, I will tell subscribers, like, you guys need to zero out. That's how you play these stocks. Mm-hmm. Get in early, and then if the market lets you zero out before the drills will show up, that's a smart way to play it.
Sure.
But even so, you think his odds of hitting something are actually quite good. His targets look really good.
Yeah, I see it's trading around 19 cents now, so if you got your people in at a nickel, they've already done very well, I suppose. And I guess you know, you pointed out it's in Eastern Washington. I said Western Washington by mistake. Clearly, Eastern Washington is a better place to operate for environmental reasons than the coastal areas. So that's an important.
I think everyone was surprised how fast you get drill permits from both the BLM and the state. And I understand that even the U.S. Forest Service, which is sort of considered the bane of the mining industry's existence, things are even going well with them, and it sounds like it's not going to be long before he gets those permits too.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, take your money off the table and play with the house money, as they say, and you might have something extraordinary here, potentially.
Well, if you go back and you look at some of the type of deposits these are, you in the past, even some of the smaller deposits, like the stuff up in the northeastern part of his claim holdings, you know, those deposits generated really impressive drill holes. It's just the nature of the deposits. I mean, mm-hmm. there are a bunch of holes in Overlook, which wasn't a huge deposit when it was mined, where you were getting like 15, 20 meters of 10 grams, mm-hmm. just because they're very compact deposits. So they're capable of generating pretty impressive drill holes if you hit one of these things.
Yeah, and lots of excitement in the market when you get those kind of numbers. Yeah. All right, a second one that I know that you like is Precipitate Gold, and that's in the Dominican Republic. They've got the Ginger Ridge discovery down there, and I know they're doing some work. There's over 5 million ounces of gold discovered in recent years in that trend. Trades in Toronto under PRG is a symbol, PREIF in the States. Give us an update on Precipitate Gold, Eric.
Okay, Precipitate's a company I'm pretty close to. I was one of the founders. I mean, I'm not like a director or an officer or anything, but I'm still very close to it. And because of that, I don't generally put a rating on it in the newsletter, just because there's potential for me to have information that's not public. Mm-hmm. But, you know, all that aside, I was a big booster when they went into the Dominican. I love this gold belt. I think this is going to be, like you said, they've already found 5 million ounces, and this belt didn't even exist 10 years ago. I think it's going to be a very big deal. Their neighbor, Gold Twist, is going through permitting now on a 3 million ounce equivalent deposit. They made a nice discovery at Ginger Ridge about 3 years ago, just as the bear market was really taking hold, 18 meters of 4.5 grams. Mm. They followed that up a couple months ago. They got some anomalous numbers, but they weren't happy about it and said, look, let's go back to the drawing board a little bit. They expanded some of their surveys, especially the soil surveys, and what came out of that that I think is a very exciting target is called what they call the East Anomaly, but a kilometer east of Ginger Ridge itself in the same area, kind of a parallel trend, but you'd have to follow the stock like I have to recognize that the East Anomaly is actually much stronger soil geochemical anomaly than the Ginger Ridge one that led them to that discovery hole. It's more consistent. The gold, zinc, copper grades are much higher. There's a really nice strong lead anomaly along with everything else, which is a good sign when you're looking at soil surveys, because lead tends to be very immobile. It doesn't move very far from the source. So I think you'll see drilling start there, well, I mean, very soon between you and I. I know Mike Moore got on a plane yesterday, so it's not long now before they start drilling again. The other thing that's coming along, in the broader, it's a very big property. A lot of the work is focused in this one little area until now, but over the last 3 or 4 months, they've been doing IP surveys and mapping and basically property-wide, and there's five other sort of, I guess, target areas, I call them, that are coming along at the same time. And I think, you know, in and along with the you know, a drill start and drill news, as things move forward, we'll start getting more information on these other target areas. And based on the early mapping and really kind of reconnaissance sampling and stuff, it looks like two or three of these things are going to come along to be nice targets as well. I mean, I've got really high hopes for the East. And I haven't given up hope on Ginger Ridge. I know that one of the directors of Precipitate is a good friend of mine, and I know a very good friend of yours. You know, Quentin has, you know, been counseling Mike. You know, I know you weren't happy with the last set of holes, but you don't get 18 meters at 5 grams and have it just go poof, so don't give up on it yet.
Right.
So I think we'll see some holes at Ginger Ridge because the drill is still sitting there. But I think once they've got 3 or 4 holes in, and while they're waiting for assets, you're going to get on this Eastern Anomaly, because I know Mike's really pumped about it, and so am I, frankly. It's a great-looking target.
Eric, are the mineralized zones a little more shallow? The target's a little more shallow to the east as well?
They may be. If you follow the trend of their anomaly to the northwest a couple of kilometers, you know, part of the reason they looked over there is that one of their geologists, James, I think it was, he found a bunch of barite subcrop there. Barite is commonly seen sort of in the outlying areas of VMS systems. There's been a debate since the original discovery of Ginger Ridge of what, you know, what is it? Is it VMS? Is it high sulfidation? I think it's still a toss-up, but certainly what got them thinking they'd better look over in that area, even though there isn't much outcrop, was their neighbor GoldQuest to the north. They announced a really impressive discovery hole at something they're calling Kachimbo, which is a long trend from the east anomaly, about 2 kilometers to the north. It's definitely VMS, according to GoldQuest. And they hit, off the top of my head, it was like 15 meters of 7 or 8% zinc and about 10 grams gold, and it was a ridiculous hole.
Wow, yeah.
And they are drilling. I believe they're drilling there right now, actually. I'm trying to get a hold of Bill Fisher, but as far as I know, they've got a drill rig on Kachimbo right now. So those two things going together, are they part of the same trend in the big picture, obvious sense? Yes. Are they part of the same system? I mean, who knows? That's what both GoldQuest and PRG are trying to figure out.
Yeah. Okay, 13 cents in Canadian money, 76 million shares gives it a market cap around 10 million Canadian. So are they? How's their treasury funded now, Eric? They're in pretty good shape?
It's pretty healthy. Yeah, they got about $3 million bucks. I think what they've got laid out now might use up $500,000, $750,000, because when they did the original drill program and then decided to stop and get assays, I think they prepaid a lot of the drilling to start with. So the drill program they're about to start is actually partially paid for already. They gave Energold, I think, the full footage up front. So that's why they can do, you know, whatever they're going to do, 3,000 or 4,000 meters, and not have it eat up that much budget.
All right, good. Well, it's another one that I want to keep my eyes on as well, because it's in my letter as well. And one more here before we take a break. Vendetta Mining Corp trades in Toronto. It's really a zinc story, and I know that you liked it. You liked it because you thought it, you know, its project was advanced enough to take advantage of this zinc cycle. Trades 85 million shares, 25 cents Canadian money, market cap of 21 million. But I believe you're quite pleased with what you're seeing there, Eric, so far, huh?
Oh yeah, I'm very happy with that one. The thing to understand about this one is their main project, Egmont. What I like about it is, you know, I'm a big fan of zinc. I expect the zinc price to have another run over the next 12 to 18 months. I think given how tight the zinc market is, there's real potential for it to see nominally an all-time high, which would basically mean $2 a pound plus. I'm not assuming it's going to stay there for any great length of time. But what I was looking for when I started looking for zinc stories is I was trying to find something where I thought it was developed enough that it could take advantage of this cycle. Mm-hmm. And by take advantage, you either one, they go into production, or two, and I'm sure this would be their preference, somebody takes them out. Now, the thing with Pegmont is the current resource isn't that large. It's 5 or 6 million tons. It will be bigger. There's going to be a new resource estimate out probably within 2 weeks. And I would be, my gut feel, talking to the guys, seeing how confident they were. And this was another stock that really had sort of a myth effect, if you will, mm-hmm. where there was a significant amount of buying after the show. And the reason for that was, it wasn't any one specific thing these guys said. It was just the level of confidence they displayed was so high.
Mm-hmm.
I talked to Peter Garris, who's sort of the VP Exploration COO. He's an Aussie geologist, Pegmont's in Australia. He actually discovered the deposit to the south of it, which is a copper deposit, but he knows this area and he knows the deposit type very well. And this is another one where they started thinking it was one type of deposit and changed the model. And this Broken Hill model has worked out really well. It seems like Peter's really been able to figure out where these zones are going. And when he drills them, he hits pretty much exactly where he expects to. I think this resource is going to be, the official consensus is 7.5 to 8 million tons. I'll be shocked if they don't beat that number. They were just so confident when I was talking to them.
Yeah.
They're not the ones doing it. It's independent engineers doing the calculation. But these guys just seem so confident. I'm pretty sure it's going to be higher than that. But their target is 12 to 15 million tons. And at that size, where one of the surrounding mines, and the thing with Pegmont is it's right in the middle of the world's biggest lead-zinc production area. In Queensland. And the thing is, there are two or three companies within 30, 40 kilometers. One of them has, South 32, has tons of room still in their mill. It's a very large mill they've got going there. The company that sells, Chinalco, has this copper deposit that's turned into a bit of a white elephant, frankly. Mm-hmm. They're almost at war. They're looking hard, I think, at Pegmont, because if you can generate, say, 800,000 million tons a year production, and you need 12 to 15 million tons to get a buyer to believe that.
Mm-hmm.
The NPV on this thing, I think, is going to surprise people, because if you're not building a mill, you can truck it to an existing operation and you get good grades, and they do, then I think the NPV on this thing is going to be quite high when they do an economic study. Once this resource is out, the other thing you'll see almost right after it, they're drilling again with two rigs. They just raised $4 million. And basically what Mike Williams, the CEO, said in his talk was, we can see how to get to 12 to 15 million tons. We know where it should be. What we don't know right now is how much drilling is it going to take to get there.
Mm-hmm.
But once we get the resource number back from the engineers, that's going to tell us how much tonnage we need to add to get to this magic number, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
12 million tons. It's pretty obvious talking to them. They think they're going to get there this year, which means there'd be a PEA out later this year. And once those numbers are out, I think the odds are high that that stock gets a bid from another company. I mean, mm-hmm. I stuck my neck out at EDAC and said I didn't think they'd be around in a year. And I
still yeah, but no pressure, you said.
No pressure, no. No, I'm not going to look too stupid in 4 months if they're still around. But.
Yeah, well, that's exciting, and the copper prospect too, huh?
Yeah, I mean that one. I mean, it was just kind of a thing. They put out this, 3 meters of decent grade zinc of copper, but it's just like, okay, whatever.
Yeah.
They told me at the time they had drilled that, because I guess that specific claim needed the assessment work. But again, when I talked to Peter, and Peter was one of the discoverers of the deposit to the south, which is the same model. This thing's about, I think, 2 or 3 kilometers from the actual Pegmont, the Pegmont zones. It's a separate thing. And he said, look, we just did I talked to him at MIF, and he said, we just did geophysics. The trend that this occupies looks like it's about a kilometer long. He said, we don't know what the true thickness is. He said, look, we need to get started on the lead zinc drilling. That's the main show. We're going to get some holes into this. And he said, if you see a news release about a third rig being added, it's going to be because we're drilling this copper. And the mm-hmm. thing with the copper is, if they found even, a million tons, 2 million tons, I think the odds of the guys to the south, Chinalco, pulling the trigger and making a bid would go up exponentially, because it's exactly the same stuff that they've been running through their mill.
Mm-hmm.
So if they could buy it and start off mining stuff and trucking it 20 kilometers, not having to do anything to their mill, run it through and then modify the mill once that's done for the lead zinc, I think the odds of those guys coming after them would go up substantially.
Hmm. Well, okay. Well, lots to keep our eyes on there with Vendetta Mining as well, another name that's in my newsletter. So thank you for all of that, Eric. Well, a couple more I wanted to ask you about. Can you stick around a little longer and we do another segment?
Sure, absolutely.
All right, folks. Well, we're going to be right back with another segment. Don't go away.